Now, dozens of winter weather events hit our state each year, as you know, and here come the salt trucks. These are figures from the State Department of Transportation. They use an average of 526,000 tons of salt and 14,000 tons of sand per season. Other techniques include pre-wetting and de-icing. Do you think the state is using too much salt on roads? Have you taken steps to use less salt on your sidewalks? What works for you? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. It's 800-642-1234. Hillary Dugan is an assistant professor at UW-Madison's Center for Limnology, where she studies lakes, including lakes here in Wisconsin. Hillary, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure to be on.
So what is the environmental damage caused by using salt on roads, salt on our highways, salt on our sidewalks, our driveways, our front steps? What is the impact?
Yeah, we're definitely putting down a lot of salt into the environment. And what we have to remember is that, you know, no one's picking that salt up and it's all going to end up in our fresh water. So whether or not that's running off into your local stream or river, into a lake, or eventually seeping into groundwater, you know, none of that salt that we're putting down is being removed.
It's not being removed. Where is it going?
So it's going into our water eventually. And we've seen that over the decades of salting, we're getting higher levels of salinity in a lot of freshwater environments. Obviously, those are worse in sort of bigger urban centers, but we do see it statewide.
We've talked about more cities and towns in Wisconsin spreading brine, this mixture of salt and water on roads instead of the rock salt. How has this trend played out?
Yeah, so that's something that we're seeing more of. And the reason for that is that it ends up using a lot less salt. So instead of putting down rock salt, which is solid rock that you're hoping it's going to sort of mix with snow and create a liquid brine, instead, we're seeing the Department of Transportation put down liquid brine both before snow starts to, in a way, it works the same way, but you end up using less salt because, salt's not bouncing off the road into the ditch, it's sticking to the road. And so in places that use a lot of liquid brine, we're seeing salt reductions of almost 50% in total salt use.
Hmm.
And that salt reduction is, you know, it's good for the environment. It's good for the budget of the state. And so, you know, most counties are getting on board with liquid brine application, and we're going to see more of that in the future.
When you're out testing the water on Wisconsin lakes, can you actually pick up the salt front? Can you link it back to road salt when you examine and take samples and specimens of the water?
So there are other salt sources other than road salt, although all of the sort of salt budgets that have been done in the region, road salt is definitely the sort of the biggest culprit of human salt inputs. There are salt inputs from agriculture, and water softeners could be a really big salt source. Although, especially with water treatment facilities, we sort of know exactly where that discharge is taking place. But what we do see are big spikes in salinity, especially in streams in the sort of the spring months when we start to see a lot of snow runoff. And so that's a pretty obvious sign that it's related to road salt when it's coming in, you know, during melt events in, say, March and April, whereas other sources of salt you'd expect to see sort of more throughout the year. So that's a pretty good indication that road salt is the dominant driver of these trends.
What do the streams do with this salt? How does it break down, or does it, in the environment?
So salt dissolves into its kind of constituent ions. And for the most part, the salt we use is sodium chloride, which is the same sort of salt we buy to eat. And so it dissolves into sodium ions and chloride ions. And those generally are pretty passive. They're not being taken up by too much in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good and bad. It's good in that it doesn't stick around. It'll eventually flush out. But it's bad because a lot of freshwater organisms can be, it makes it harder to kind of do cellular processes when there's too many ions in the water. You have to remember that all of the native, flora and fauna in Wisconsin are adapted to freshwater environments. And as we start pushing some of those rivers and lakes to, you know, saltier concentrations, there are organisms that are, you know, get really stressed by those concentrations, and it's a lot harder for them to survive. And that, you know, it doesn't all, it's not true of all organisms. There's some species that are more adaptable, but we will start to see a change in sort of that native aquatic ecosystem as salt concentrations increase.
What is the impact of using sand? Why can't we just switch over to sand?
So sand provides really good traction. Sand is not a melter. So salt works really well because it actually depresses the freezing point of water down to a certain point. We've actually seen temperatures in the last few weeks where it's been too cold for sodium chloride to melt effectively. Mm. And sand's a good alternative because it provides that a good traction on snow. The problem comes when we sort of oscillate between these freezing and thawing temperatures where we get a lot of ice formation. You know, we've been actually pretty lucky in the last few weeks. I mean, people might disagree with this cold snap, but what we've seen are temperatures where things just stay cold and frozen. And we, you know, in here in Madison, we have a lot of snow covered and snow packed streets that are actually pretty safe to drive and walk on. And that's because there isn't a lot of ice. But once we start seeing ice formation in the coming weeks, as we get slightly warmer temperatures, that's where salt's really effective. And so we have to be a little bit more cognizant of trying to get that kind of that water off our streets before it freezes into ice, because that's the danger.
Yeah. I'm going to reintroduce you here. Hilary Dugan, assistant professor at UW-Madison Center for Limnology, as we talk about how road salt affects our environment and especially waterways, the impact of sand. Do you think the state is using too much salt on the roads? Have you seen salt eat away at your car or your shoes? 800-642-1234 to join in. Hillary, there have been other alternatives to salt tried out in recent years. Polk County has spread cheese brine on its roads. The Minnesota Department of Transportation has used beet juice. What have you looked at with these alternatives?
Yeah, so those alternatives are definitely used. Those two are actually used for different reasons. So beet juice is pretty common. It's used because it's sticky and helps salt adhere to the roads. And so lots of places actually keep some beet juice on hand. It's an organic material, so it has some other environmental problems associated with it. And so we tend not to advise to use too much of it. Cheese brine is still a salt, so it's going to have the same environmental impacts. I guess the benefit of cheese brine is it's probably cheaper because it's leftover.
It's a waste product of the process of cheese making. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, normally you probably just dump that cheese brine down the drain. So if you can reuse it, that's a good thing. But it's still anything that's a brine is still going to be a salt product. And so those alternatives are still, you know, effectively having the same environmental problems that just normal salt would have. But we might be seeing more sort of reuse of waste products in the future, especially as salt prices, you know, start to skyrocket. Mm-hmm. And there's some other alternatives, different salt compounds. You can buy some acetate compounds at the store. Some of them get pretty expensive and aren't, you know, really economically viable at a large scale, but could be affordable at sort of a household cost. But there's, you know, salt is effective and it's pretty cheap. And so there's not really a great alternative other than trying not to use de-icers and trying to really just like get out there and shovel.
Well, let's pause here and bring in John in Highland. Hi, John. You're a farmer.
Yes, I am indeed. We live right along Highway 80 here by Highland, and we are seeing some negative effects on our farmland from the runoff from the road ditches. When salt is applied to soil, it takes the air out of the soil and it collapses the clay layers, which we have in much of our farmland in the state. And when it does that, the water cannot percolate down through the soil. So many of our road ditches are becoming so filled with salt that water is not percolating down. It's running off into the farmland. And we have probably a 3-acre piece right on one corner that we can no longer farm. It just grows up the grass. We make some hay off it. But it's become so logged with salt that it's no longer tillable for corn and soybean production.
And John, I'm going to just pause there and allow Hillary to respond there with this salt jam and John unable to even farm those acreage.
Yeah, I mean, what John said about how salt affects soil is absolutely true. And it's pretty devastating, especially when it's, you know, almost bad luck that you happen to be beside a highway where you are getting the brunt of that salt. As I said, you know, all the salt that is put down runs off to whatever happens to be beside the road. And so, you know, we salt stretches of highway at, you know, 300 pounds per lane mile. And so, yeah, your farmland is going to be getting hundreds and hundreds of pounds of salt every year. And it's hard to reverse. I mean, we see this in other places, especially in the arid U.S., where you can get salinization of soil from irrigation. And so it's what's challenging then becomes, you know, whose fault is it? And there have been other cases in the United States of sort of both damage to cropland, but also damage to groundwater. Mm. And, you know, not only is that soil getting salty, but the groundwater is getting salty as well. And so,
which will affect wells.
Which will affect wells, and not just for human drinking water, but also for livestock drinking water and irrigation. So there's multiple problems that are, really pretty heartbreaking.
Well, very quickly, as we only have a few seconds left, can you give us any tips as residents, homeowners, what we can do on our personal level to use less salt?
Well, especially if you live in a city and you're sort of responsible for clearing your sidewalk and driveway, take advantage of Mother Nature. Those bright, sunny afternoons, a lot of that snow and ice sort of gets nice and mushy and is pretty easy to shovel off. Especially when we're all stuck at home, it's a good afternoon activity. There are times when it's still below freezing and the sun's out and it's warming things up nicely that it makes it pretty easy to clear and, you know, you don't really need salt. Mm. If you look at your cleared driveway and you see lots of salts, sweep it up. You know, it's not doing anything anymore. It's just sitting there waiting for the next big rainstorm to wash it in to the stormwater sewer and, you know, down into our rivers and lakes. If you did put down too much, pick it up.
Hillary, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. It was a pleasure.
Hillary Dugan is an assistant professor at UW-Madison's Center for Limnology. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.